may not have agreed on. She calls on him for money, to paint her house, to pick her up from the movies, to cook for special occasions, and even wash her clothes. What prompted me to write this letter is the fact that it is now 10:42 p.m., and I am home alone because my husband was just called by his mother to come to her house to help bake cakes for a fundraiser tomorrow. I had plans to spend time with my husband tonight, but once again, his mother got in the way. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that he respects and helps his mother, but sometimes I feel left out. My kids and I are often put on the back burner because he is always doing something for his mother. All these years, I have kept my thoughts about this to myself, but I don't know how much more I can take. His mother is always taking away from our family. I sometimes feel like I didn't marry a man. I need him to be a man and take control. Now, I sympathize for, did I marry a man or a boy? I hear from all too many women who face the same problem. Their men are excessively attached to their mothers at an age where you expect the sons to be totally independent. It's a bond that allows the mothers of these men to exert all kinds of control over their lives, usually to the detriment of romantic relationships. The mother says, jump. The son asks, how high and when do you need me to be back? And the girlfriend or wife rolls her eyes and sits in the corner with her mouth poked out, wondering, A, why this grown man just can't fix his mouth to say no every once in a while, B, why this woman holds so much power over her man, and C, what kind of tool can she buy or rent or borrow or invent to detach the two of them so that she and her man can get back to the business of building a life together. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how many different ways they slice it, women like Did I Marry a Man or a Boy feel like they just can't compete with the other woman, the mother. Those same women will toss up more motives than a DA to explain why their man proudly answers to the mama's boy title. His mother refuses to cut the umbilical cord and let him be a man. His mother doesn't think there's a woman alive good enough for him. His mother has something against his significant other. He doesn't want to grow up. He jumps through hoops for his mother because she spoils him rotten and takes care of his every need. We've heard them all. To Did I Marry a Man or a Boy and all the other women in relationships with mama's boys, I say, stop coming up with excuses and recognize that he's a mama's boy because you let him be one. Yes, I said it. It's your fault. Let me tell you why a man will get up out of a warm bed with a beautiful naked woman in it, pull on his clothes, grab his keys, and get in his car at 10:42 p.m. with his children and woman in the house alone to drive all the way across town to bake cakes, doggone near the middle of the night for his mother's bake sale. Because his mother has set requirements and standards for that man, and his woman has not. Look, I already told you how this works. A man who loves you will be the man you need him to be if you have requirements, standards you set to make the relationship work the way you want it to. A real man is happy and eager to live by your rules, as long as he knows what the rules are and he's sure that abiding by those rules will help keep the woman he loves happy. The only thing you have to do is establish the rules, say them out loud early in the relationship, and make sure he sticks to them. But if you don't have any standards or requirements, guess whose rules he's going to follow? That's right, his mother's. She was the first woman to tell him what she would and would not accept. If she told him to wash his hands before he sat at the dinner table, be back in the house before the streetlights came on, go to Sunday school on Sundays, protect his sister when the two of them were out, and always, always listen to and trust his mother, guess what this boy was going to do? He was going to follow those rules to the letter, mostly, because he did not want to deal with the consequences that came if he didn't listen to and respect his mother. He also followed those rules because he loved his mother, and her rules, mostly, never changed. Oh, they adapted to his age and circumstances, but a mother always keeps some rules front and center for the men in her life, no matter her son's station in life, including respecting her, loving her unconditionally, and protecting and providing for the woman who gave him life. She never relinquishes those standards and requirements, and her son, if he's a responsible, thoughtful, loving son, doesn't really ever break away from them. Until, that is, he finds a woman he loves and who loves him back, and has sense enough to set some ground rules and requirements for the relationship, chief among them the following. 1. You need to respect me. 2. You must put me and our kids after God and above all others. 3. Be clear to everyone involved in our lives that they will respect your relationship and me. Now, if you never set those rules up, and his mother's never relinquished hers, is it a wonder that he's going to leave you in the bed naked while he goes to bake cakes? It's not that she has a hold on this man. It's that you never bothered to take the reins. Think about what "Did I Marry a Man or a Boy" said. She's been in a relationship with her husband for 10.5 years, and not once did she step forward and express her displeasure when her man's mother called the house to put him to work. "All these years I have kept my thoughts about this to myself," she wrote. So if she never told her man she doesn't like it when he leaves her and the kids to run over to his mother's house, and she doesn't like it when he allows his mother to yell at him like a child, and she doesn't want him cooking, painting, driving, and doing laundry for his mother when she needs him to do things around their house, how exactly was he supposed to know that his interactions with his mother violated his wife's standards? Men cannot read minds, and we are completely incapable of anticipating what you want. So you have to speak up. She didn't say it in the letter, but my guess is that "Did I Marry a Man or a Boy?" failed to speak up about her mother-in-law's abuse of power for over a decade because she was afraid that he would leave her, that if she tried to drive a wedge between her man and his mom, he'd choose his mother over her. I'll tell you, though, that men don't work this way. If your man truly loves you, and he's a real man, he'll figure out a way to get his mom on board with making his woman happy, to smooth everything out so that the relationship can work for all parties involved. First, acknowledge that you can't compete with this woman. She changed his diapers. She can cook his favorite dish exactly the way he likes it. She knows most of, if not all, of his friends, and she's known him longer than anybody. Her blood courses through his veins. If he loves his mother and they have a good relationship, you're not going to get in the middle of that. And honestly, you'll realize it's much better to be in a relationship with a man who loves his mother than it is to be with someone who can't stand the woman who gave birth to him. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the latter probably won't ever be able to commit to a loving, stable relationship with a woman if he couldn't get that single most important, obvious, easy male-female relationship right. But the guy who loves his mother and treats her with respect is the guy who will know how to act with you. But you most certainly can work with your man and his mom by controlling what you do have control over. By using your powers to set standards and requirements that he needs to abide by as the two of you work to create a family or to blend your families together. Instead of writing an angry strawberry letter in the middle of the night when her man tiptoed out of the house to help his mom, "Did I Marry a Man or a Boy?" should have stopped her husband at the bedroom door and told him something like, "Look, I know you love your mother, and you'd do anything for her. But it's not acceptable to me for you to leave me and these babies here in this house alone to bake cookies. If you choose to go over there, then you need to stay over there for the night." This would not have been evil or unreasonable. Leaving a woman and children in the house at 10:45 at night, whether to bake cookies or go to the strip club, is unacceptable if that woman thinks it is. And if she lets her man know this, she's making him aware of the standards he needs to live up to in order to stay in their relationship. Once it's said, the ball is in his court. He can either go bake cookies, or he can be a man and call his mother and set it straight. Tell her he can't come by tonight, but he can drop off some store-bought baked goods in the morning before he leaves for work. His mother may not be happy about this, but what would you care? Again, you can't control how she feels about her son's actions. And you can't control her son's actions, but you can control how you feel and what you expect of your man. Now, did I marry a man or a boy? Waited almost 11 years to have her say. But if you're just now getting into a relationship with a man, you're going to have to get this thing out on the table. Tell him that you don't ever want to come between him and his mother, but you sure don't want to compete with her either. So he'll have to do what he has to do to let his mother know that, A, under no certain terms are the needs of his girlfriend, fiancé, wife ever going to come second, and B, she should respect his need to be a protector and provider for the woman to whom he's professed his love. Don't worry. He understands his need to do this. No real man anywhere needs his mother more than he needs his woman. He recognizes pretty early on that the support he gets from his mother, clothes, housing, education, nurturing, and so on, needs to come to an end when manhood is full throttle. And that if he is to have a true, loving, lasting relationship with a woman, he needs to cut the proverbial umbilical cord from his mom so that he can give life to his new family, his own family. All you have to do is speak up. Tell him straight up, I need you here to protect and provide for us, to give us security in our lives, to help raise these children, to set an example for this boy who needs to see what real men do, and for this girl who needs to know what a real man is so she can find one of her own someday. I need you to be the head of this family. Lay it out like this, and your requirements will trump his mother's every time. Chapter 8. Why Men Cheat. From the male perspective, the answers to the question, why do men cheat, are crystal clear. Not so much for women. No matter how good or sensible the reasons are, men know that women will never hear one and say, oh, now I get it. There are neither words big enough nor experts with enough credentials and letters behind their name to slice it and dice it up in a way that's palatable for most women. Inevitably, responses to this million-dollar question are always going to sound like $10 answers. And who could argue with that? For most women, after all, cheating is unthinkable and, at first blush, unforgivable. You don't and can't comprehend why a man would be unfaithful, and you won't ever pretend to. You figure that if you've told him you love him, given him your mind, your body, and your time, moved in with him, shared the bills with him, done his laundry, cooked his food, born his children, and said an enthusiastic I do in front of the Lord, the pastor, your mother, and all her best friends and yours too, the least your man can do is honor what is most sacred to you, the promise of fidelity. He can lie every once in a while, fall down on the housework and the child rearing, get a little lax in the income department, pay more attention to his boys and his mother than he does to you, and slip into the mediocre category when it comes to the boudoir, even say the Lord's name in vain while you're walking out the door to go to yet another church service alone. But let a man step out on his woman and watch the earth move. That's my way of saying that women will put up with a lot of things. Cheating is not one of them. Now, we men, we understand this. We know what it takes to tip. We're capable of calculating the collateral damage that comes with getting caught. And we know that getting back into the graces of the woman we cheated on, and her mother, and her friends, and anyone else who sympathized with her having to resurrect herself from such a devastating life event will require a Herculean effort. Still, we do it. Why? I am not here to justify a cheating man's actions. Rather, this is my humble attempt to explain to you why a man might go on ahead and get a little something on the side, and what you can do to cut down the chances that your man will do this to you. So let's just go on ahead and get right to it. Men cheat because they can. Dress it up any way you want to, but men don't view sex the way you women do. Plain and simple. For a lot of you, the act of intercourse is emotional, an act of love. That's understandable, considering the sheer physics of the act. You have to lie back and allow a foreign object to enter your body. You've been taught all your life that you only let that kind of deeply intimate moment happen with someone who really means something to you. By contrast, when it comes to men and sex, neither emotions nor meaning necessarily enter the equation. It's easy, very easy, for a man to have sex, go home, wash it off with soap and water, and act like what he just did never happened. Sex can be a purely physical act for us. Love has absolutely nothing to do with it. Consider this strawberry letter from a woman who called herself Concerned. During a conversation with my husband of 20 years, I asked him if he would honestly always be satisfied with having sex with me only. He hesitated for so long before answering that I just knew he was going to say no. He then went on to explain that he loved me and would never do anything to hurt me, but if I gave him permission to have sex with other women and not form relationships with him, he would. He said that as he's gotten older, he's been wondering if he's still attractive and sexually appealing, and that attention from another younger woman would boost his ego. Then he asked me if I would be willing to give him permission to have sex with other women if he promised to let them know, up front, that it's only sex he's interested in, and he's not interested in a relationship. He even offered to answer any questions I'd have with his encounters, or if I didn't want to know about it, to just do it and not tell me what and when it happened. Obviously, he's got a problem with monogamy. Should I consent so that a potential for sneaking around can be eliminated? What can I do to get him to change his thinking, if anything? The answer to that last question in the strawberry letter is not much. A man can love his wife, his children, his home, and the life that they've all built together and have an incredible physical connection to her, and still get some from another woman without a second thought about it, because the actual act with the other woman meant nothing to him. It was something that may have made him feel good physically, but emotionally, his heart, the professing, providing, and protecting he saves for the woman he loves, may be at home with his woman. Now, filter that bit of information through the lens of, say, a high-powered man who has a wife whose job is equally prestigious and demanding. I don't profess to know what goes on behind closed doors in that kind of household, but by all public accounts, that couple could be perfectly happy, in love, supportive, down for each other. Still, her job could take her overseas, leaving her man at home to run the household, take care of the kids, and keep up his demanding work schedule for weeks on end without so much as a hot and heavy phone conversation to help him make it through the enormous time period he'd have to go without having sex. Trust me when I say this. Under this situation, plenty of men would easily justify their getting some from somewhere else. Neither he nor any other man, for that matter, is going to go without sex too long. It's not that he doesn't love his wife, but he's there, coming home exhausted from a hard day's work, cooking dinner, shuttling the kids around to all their after-school functions, and checking homework. He's stressed out, and plenty of us men can hear what he may have worked out in his mind. I'm going to go over here and let this other woman tighten me up, and then I'll come back and cook and shuttle and work until the woman I love comes back to me. This may seem like a cold piece of work to you, but to a man, it's reasonable. He's got to try to feel better some kind of way, and so he's going to get sex from someone if he can't get it from you. You see it as a betrayal. Men see it as just a way to get tightened up, especially if they think they can get away with it. Of course, men will consider the risks of getting caught cheating on his lady. But mostly, men initiate affairs pretty confident that they're going to get away with it, and most certainly with all kinds of confidence that if they get caught, their denials will see them through. I used to do a joke where I would encourage men to ride their lie all the way out. I told them, I don't care if somebody got a picture of my butt up in the air in the pump position with my social security number stamped on the left-hand side of my cheek. I'm going to tell my wife it ain't me. I don't know who that is with my social security number all over his butt with the same shoes as me, but that's not me. Now, that's my joke, but most men don't consider getting caught a laughing matter. A man who cheats has most certainly calculated the collateral damage that would come from getting busted. Potential loss of the woman he loves, his children, his home, and his peace of mind. And he recognizes that this would be a devastating blow to all the things that matter in his life. We are all quite familiar with the saying, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned," and men understand its meaning much better than you do. We know the hell is coming, and there will be plenty of scorn if we get busted. Still, men don't really ever think they're going to get caught. Basically, we think we're slick, and we go to great lengths to hide our infidelity from you, always with this in mind. If you don't know about it, it can't hurt you. We're pretty confident that your willingness to be in a relationship with us supersedes all the things we do that look suspicious, because we know you'll work through the suspicion that it's more important to you to be with us in our imperfection than to leave us and be alone. At least, that's what we're hoping. And in the beginning, mostly, you will. But the moment your suspicions turn into a law and order type investigation, we're going to lie and deny. That's if we care about you. But if not, if a man doesn't see you fitting into his life plan, he won't even bother with all of the covering up and the chit-chat after he gets found out. He'll simply tell you that he was sleeping with someone else because he hasn't become who he wants and needs to be, or found who he truly wants. You may think this is a cop-out, but it is the reality. It goes back to the way men judge themselves against each other. I told you in the introduction, and have reiterated elsewhere in the book, that we are defined by who we are, what we do, and how much we make. And if we haven't gotten to where we want and need to be, then we're not going to be ready to figure out how settling down with one woman fits into our plans for becoming a truly independent, mature, well-off man. I mean, how many times have you seen or been in a relationship where the man says over and over again, "When I get my money right, I'll think about commitment," or, "I just need to get that promotion first, then I'll settle down." That guy is still trying to complete himself, and while he's working toward that, he's not organizing his life to include a committed relationship. He tells himself he simply doesn't have time for it. It's simply not a priority for him, and so creep he will. The same can be true even of a man who is married with children. The man who is mature and has figured out who he is and is happy with what he does and how much he makes, probably has his life ordered up correctly. He's become the man he envisioned himself being and has put his priorities in this order: God, family, education, business, and then everything else. But if family isn't second, it's about to be a problem. He's going to dedicate himself to whatever his priorities are in the order in which he's put them. Even if he's already said, "I do," and held his babies in his arms, and done everything a man's supposed to do to protect and provide for them. If he's decided that it's more important to him to fulfill that hunting Jones, then that's going to be the priority for him. He's not going to sync up with your demand that he be faithful. He's not going to rub it in your face. And he's going to do everything he can to preserve what he has with you. But he's still going to have a little something on the side. Really. It's got nothing to do with you. I have a friend who's successful, has plenty of money, a beautiful family, the ideal life. And one evening, while we were sitting around with a few of our friends, shooting the breeze about how satisfied we are with our stations in life, my boy announced with a slick grin, "I love my wife, man, but I got this cold one on the side." We were surprised, don't get me wrong. But we accepted that from him because we all know that this man hasn't got his priorities right yet, and there's nothing we can do or say to make him do it. He knows that once he's stepped out on his wife, he's putting something else before God and family, but only he can put his house in order. Now, if he's young, that might come with mental maturity. The old-timers say all the time that experience is priceless. Too bad you have to pay for it with your youth. Of course, maturity and age go hand in hand. But circumstances bring it about, too. If a man is a spiritual person and he's got a relationship with God, he'll mature much more quickly just because his beliefs will hold him to a much more stringent moral code. And that moral code will automatically make him put family second, because this is what a relationship with God demands. Now, he'll make it a priority to find a woman who completes his life, someone who can be the mother of his children, who can make his unit complete. Sometimes men wise up without God in their lives. I have a buddy who had all kinds of women doing all kinds of things to him and for him, and he finally got into a position where he said, "Man, I got all these women, and I can get them to do all these things and give me all these things, but I'm not happy. I don't have any peace, and I just don't feel like I have my life together." And right then and there, he made the decision to stop treating women the way he'd been treating them and get what he was finally yearning for, a family. His philandering stopped cold. He's not saved. He didn't have some big revelation with God. He didn't get called to the ministry. He just decided he needed to do something different to find the joy in his life. And the only way he could find that was with someone, and only one someone, special. When a man finds that joy, the chances of his cheating get really slim. Unless what's happening at home isn't happening like it used to. That's right. I said it. It could have something to do with you. Your man may be walking around telling himself that your relationship just doesn't have that spark anymore, that you don't turn him on like you used to, that you don't come on to him like you did when the two of you first fell in love. You know how it goes. The two of you get comfortable with each other, settle in, have some babies, buy a house, and then get bogged down in the bills and raising the kids and going to work and keeping up with the rat race that comes when you're a family trying to make it. The next thing he knows, the woman who used to wear and do little things to keep it hot and spicy isn't interested in doing that little thing she did when the two of them first got together. In fact, the sex has become uninspired. She's coming in from work, where she was dressed up in her nice skirt and heels and makeup and such, and she's breaking down before she can get to the door good. And now, after a long day at work, and even more work when she gets home, she's coming to bed in a headscarf and a T-shirt, and is this close to hiring a firing squad to take you out for even looking at her with those bedroom eyes? In other words, what's back at the house has become ho-hum routine. And this man is missing the spark that used to be there. You've changed. Well, he knows he's changed too, but we're not talking about him. We're talking about you. Perhaps that comes too, with a feeling that you don't appreciate him like you used to. The thank yous come less frequently. There's a lot of arguing going on. Turmoil seems to get up with you in the morning and cuddle up with the two of you at night. And your home just isn't feeling like what he signed up for. And if he can't get what he signed up for back at the house, he's more likely to go out and find it somewhere else. Because, guess what? He knows he can always go find it somewhere else, particularly since the biggest reason of all, there's always a woman out there willing to cheat with him. That's the truth that no woman wants to face. Imagine if every woman said, "You're married, I can't do that with you." Man, do you know how many marriages and relationships would still exist today? Men can cheat because there are so many women willing to give themselves to a man who doesn't belong to them. Sure, every now and again there are women who get fooled and don't know that a man is already spoken for. A majority of the time, however, these women know they're sleeping with a married man. Yes, these are the women who have no standards and requirements, and who suffer from serious self-esteem issues, making themselves willing to cheat and available to be cheated on. If those women took themselves out of the cheater circle, the incidence of cheating would be cut seriously down. And the way to get out of that cheater circle is to do exactly what I'm teaching you to do in this book. Figure out your standards and requirements, explain them, and stick to them. Get to really know the man by asking 5 essential questions you'll need to know to move a relationship forward, and follow the 90-day rule, and then teach all of this to your daughters too. If we don't, after all, break that cycle, the cheating will continue. So ladies, the reasons I've given here are the primary reasons men cheat, but trust me, there are many, many more. A man is always going to have a reason to justify why he's doing wrong, and those reasons will change from man to man and woman to woman. What's important for you to understand, though, is that regardless of a man's reasons, he knows what you know. It's wrong to commit to someone and promise to remain faithful and then go against that, especially if this is one of your mate's requirements. Women can go over it again and again in their minds, finding all kinds of deficiencies in themselves. I didn't do this right. I wasn't good enough. I didn't love him the way I should. She came in here and outperformed me. But the fact still remains that he didn't have any business cheating. So women need to release themselves from the blame of a cheating man's actions. Just do that for yourselves. Because holding on to that baggage can be paralyzing. It can cripple you and keep you from performing in your next encounter. You simply cannot drive forward if you're focused on what's happening in the rearview mirror. You can, however, limit the amount of times you're cheated on again. You do that by upping the ante on your requirements. See, you have a lot more power to limit the things that happen to you. You've got the power of persuasion, your power of intuition, your power of suggestion, standards to help keep you protected. If you let a man know up front that you'll tolerate a lot of things, but cheating is not one of them, then he's really clear on the fact that if he steps out of the union, he stays out of the union. And if he breaks that promise and steps out anyway, you've got to be prepared to let him go and walk away. You can't find out your man cheated, confront him about it, and then stay with him only to question his every move and nag him about what he's doing every chance you get. Because that simply means you never really forgave him, and you're creating a situation that's ripe for him to cheat again. You've got to either let him go or find it in your heart to truly forgive the man and work on a way to move forward with him. Now, sometimes it takes a man to lose something or nearly lose something to really appreciate it. But isn't that true of everybody? Some men cheat because there's never been a penalty for it. But if a man who's cheated on you sees you walking out the door and you matter to him, please know that at this point, he's very vulnerable and open to learning. Should he win you back, he's going to straighten up and fly right because he's almost lost his girl and his family, which means he'll do most anything you tell him to get back into your good graces. He's going to work to earn your trust back, follow your requirements to get back on the team. If that means he has to be home by a certain time, call when he's going to be late, send flowers every week, find a sitter so you all can have a date night on Thursdays, go to church with you on Sundays, even sit on a psychologist's couch and air out all of your dirty laundry until you're satisfied he's a changed man, then that's what he'll do. Once there's a penalty, and he's forced to say to himself, "Wow, everything I've ever loved was about to be lost," he may very well come through the fire a better man. Is that to say it's going to be easy to forgive him and not be suspicious? No, but he may eventually earn your trust back and be willing to work through it with you. He's not going to like being asked questions about where he's been. He's going to hate not being able to be intimate with you while you work through your anger, and he's going to be really reluctant to carry his butt down to the psychologist's office with you. But in his heart of hearts, he knows that's a part of working his way back into your heart. He knows he created this. He knows what he did, and he understands the consequences, ramifications, and repercussions way better than you think he does. We understand penalties, and we know it's going to be straight hell. Trust me, I know, because it happened to me. It happens to a lot of men. You can't be a man of power and not step outside your house. I don't know one man of power who has not stepped outside his house. Such a man may exist, but I have not met him. But I do know men of power who have learned to do right, go home, and take care of their families. Each one of them eventually gets to that. I certainly have. Now I carry my behind home. I had to come to this, though. And guess what? I know a lot of those same men, entertainers, ball players, executives, and so on, who have turned into some of the best husbands and fathers in the world because they've lined up their life responsibilities in the right order. God, family, education, and then business. And their wives? They've become better wives in the process, too, by trying to create a little bit of that magic they had when their relationship was fresh and new. She might come home from work and, instead of kicking off those heels, keep them on and whisper in his ear to meet her in the bedroom for a pre-dinner snack. Or she might smile a little more, act a little bit more happy, be a tad bit more spontaneous, appreciate her man more, and show it, too. This was certainly the story of one of my really good friends. His wife found out about his woman on the side, and she left him, went to her mother's house for 7 months, and took his son with her. Dude was miserable. I mean, he was losing weight. We would go by to get him and say, let's go out and have a good time, and he would tell us, eh, I don't feel like it. We even offered to take him to see the woman he had on the side, in hopes that at least getting some from her would make him feel a little bit better. But he refused her, too. I'm through with that, he insisted. I lost my marriage, my boy is gone. The people who mattered most to me are gone, and I want them back. It took him a year and a half to get this woman back. I don't know what's going on behind their closed doors, but I'll tell you one thing. She's got the ideal husband now. Any married man can look at him and see how to get it done. But two things had to happen to him. First, he had to find out what was important to him and what it was like to lose it. And second, he had to come to the realization that he needed to restructure his priorities. God first, then family. And you know what? He goes home every night. He makes money, he's extremely happy, and their family has nothing to worry about. And I heard his wife say, my new man is something else. They've been living in there happily ever after for 33 years now. He's a hell of a dude, man, and she's a lucky lady. Part 3. The Playbook. How to Win the Game. Chapter 9. Men Respect Standards. Get Some. There are a few things you should know about my wife, Marjorie. She is incredibly talented and supportive. She's just as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. She loves the Lord. She's a terrific mother to our children. She's classy and smart, and she cares for, respects, and adores me deeply. You should also know that my wife has a set of standards that I have known about and respected from the first day I met her. It started while I was doing a show in Memphis. She walked in with another attractive woman. I couldn't help myself. I stopped mid-joke and said, excuse me, I know you don't know me, but one of these days I'm going to marry you. She laughed and said, you don't know me. But I didn't care, and I told her as much. I knew right then and there we were going to be married someday. Of course, this was really more of a hope than a certainty. Maybe she knew it too, or at least liked what she saw, because even though she disappeared the night I informed her of my plan, she showed up 2 nights later at another show of mine. And this time, I asked her to come backstage and talk for a while. She agreed, and we became fast friends, and even dated for a spell. But eventually we both went our separate ways. Still, Marjorie and I always remembered the friendship we had together, and we reached out to check up on each other from time to time. Finally, Marjorie and I reconnected and started dating again. We got serious pretty quickly, both of us realizing that we had missed out on a great relationship once, and we didn't want to risk losing out on it again. But even though I knew I was in love with this woman and that she loved me, I was still connected to some women friends I developed after my divorce when I had really started dating again. Well, one particular night, when Marjorie was visiting me at home in New York on Valentine's Day weekend, one of those friends called my cell. I didn't talk much, said hi, told her we'd chat another time and that I'd stop and see her if and when I was back in town, and then hung up. I didn't even think Marjorie heard the conversation. At least she wasn't acting like she did. I should have known better, though. She got that mother hearing, doesn't miss a thing. And sure enough, late that night, when I got up to go to the bathroom, it was about 3 a.m., there was Marjorie in the hallway, standing there in her fur coat with her suitcase in her hand. She was going to leave me. Leave us. Where are you going? I asked her. Her response made me realize right then and there, in the middle of that hallway, in the middle of the night, that she was the one. I'm not trying to be anybody's plaything or anybody's woman on a string, she said matter-of-factly, her suitcase still in her hand. I don't think you're ready for what I have to offer. I got these kids, I have a good life, and I want a man who will come in and complete my family. If this is what you want too, I'll be in Memphis. After I picked up my jaw, I asked her to give me one more chance, took her bags, and immediately found my phone and snapped it in half. I'd lost her once, this beautiful, smart, sweet woman, and no other woman could be as loving and dedicated to me, to us, or to my children. I realized right then and there, in that hallway, that I wanted no other. In other words, I became the man she needed me to be because she had sense enough to have requirements, standards, that she needed in her relationship in order to make the relationship work for her. She knew she wanted a monogamous relationship, a partnership with a man who wanted to be a dedicated husband and father. She also knew this man had to be faithful, love God, and be willing to do what it took to keep this family together. On a smaller scale, she also made clear that she expected to be treated like a lady at every turn. I'm talking opening car doors for her, pulling out her seat when she's ready to sit at the table, coming correct on anniversary, Mother's Day, and birthday gifts, keeping the foul talk to a minimum. These requirements are important to her because they govern how she will be treated. They are important to me, too, because they lay out a virtual map of what all I need to do to make sure she gets what she needs and wants. After all, it's universal knowledge that when Mama is happy, everybody is happy, and it is my sole mission in life to make sure Marjorie is happy. Men can't accomplish this mission for you without your help. We can't possibly begin to fathom what it is you women need and want because your needs and wants change from woman to woman like the wind does from city to city. Men are very simple, logical people. If you tell us what you like and what you don't like, we'll do anything we can to make sure we live up to your expectations, particularly if we're interested in forging a relationship with you. But beware of telling a man everything you like when you first meet. I'll tell you why later in the chapter. But really, we're not programmed to figure it out. It really makes us quite happy when you lay out your requirements for us. And we need you to do it up front so we can decide if we're up for the challenge. Not 2 weeks into the relationship, not 2 months after we've had sex, not 2 years after we've said I do in front of the preacher and our respective families and friends. Heck, we'll take them while you're standing there at the bar, sipping on the peach martini we just bought you, so long as you're laying them out. Because now you've given us a roadmap for how to conduct ourselves, especially if we're truly interested in a relationship with you. Understand that this chapter is not a license for you to start running down your list of I can'ts and I won'ts and you better not nevers as soon as a gentleman approaches you. We do like some kind of decorum. You've got to finesse the situation. Tell a man what you require without making it feel like you're ticking off a list of demands. It really is all in the delivery. If you tell him your requirements in the midst of a conversation and they sound attainable, and you shape your standards in soft language, it'll be easier for him to understand, and more important, act on them. Think about how crazy he's going to look at you if, finger wagging, you just come out your face and say, I will not tolerate a man who does not understand my role as a mother. If you got a problem with my kids and the rest of my family, you got a problem with me. It'll be the equivalent of the needle scratching all the way across the record. He's going to think, at best, that you're angry. At worst, you're crazy, and perhaps your family is too. But imagine how he'll feel if you flip the script and say something pleasant like, oh, you know I have kids, and they're number one in my life because my parents raised me to understand the importance of family. Now he knows you're one of those good girls, sweet, responsible, and family-oriented. If he's not that guy, he'll move on to the next woman, the one with no requirements who's down for whatever. But if he's a man who shares your belief in the importance of family, he's going to keep talking to you and listen for more of your standards. Here are a few more examples I've laid out for you so you can see how to wrap up your requirements in one of those pretty bows. Instead of saying, you can't stand it when a man shows up late, say something like, everybody is so busy these days, time sure is precious, isn't it? I go out of my way to make sure that if I say I'm going to be somewhere at 7 p.m., I'm going to be there at 7 p.m., if not earlier, so that we can do what we need to do in a timely manner. And if I'm going to be late, it only takes a phone call to be courteous. Translation? You've just told him that you require the man in your life to show up when he says he's going to show up and have enough manners and class to call if he's going to be late. Now he knows to leave a few minutes earlier so he gets to you on time and to make sure his cell is charged in case he needs to give you a heads up. Instead of saying, if you're dating and sleeping with other women, I am not the one. Say something like, I'm always honest with the man I'm dating. If I feel like I want to see other people besides him, I'll let him know up front so that he can decide if he wants to continue the relationship as is or ask me to date him exclusively. Translation, you've just told him that you require the man in your life to be honest and upfront about the parameters of the relationship. If he's going to play, he's going to have to let you know so that you can make intelligent, rational decisions about how to deal with that. You've told him, too, that this is up for discussion, that the two of you can decide together what it is you want out of the relationship instead of having it dictated to him. Instead of saying, if my man doesn't have God in his life and doesn't know how to jog for Jesus, there's no need in him even opening his mouth to me. Perhaps you can say something like, Sunday is my favorite day of the week because I get to go to church and fellowship with like-minded people and exercise my faith. By the time service is over, I feel so uplifted I know the rest of my week is going to go great. Translation, you've made clear that you're a God-fearing church-going woman who knows the Lord and takes her faith seriously, and you've opened up the conversation for him to give his take on how he feels about religion and spirituality. Instead of saying, I got 3 kids and 2 jobs because these children's daddy ain't worth a damn, so any man stepping to me better have bank and be ready to raise some kids the right way or hit the highway. You might want to say something like, being a good mom is really important to me, and a part of being a good mom is making sure that my kids have a good father. I'm independent, but I realize how much better it would be for me and my family if a good man was in the picture. Translation? You will have made clear that while you're quite capable of taking care of your own children, you recognize the importance of having a good man in the mix. Something that will make a man who's willing to put in the work understand that he will be appreciated for being a good husband and father. And that's really all a man wants, a little appreciation every now and again. Get the picture? Now you've given us what we think is valuable information about the woman we're interested in. But more important, you've told us what your standards are, though you've done so by disguising them in a whole lot of pretty talk. It's like grape-flavored cough syrup. It's still medicine, but it's just gonna taste better going down. Now, I should add that while men appreciate it when women let them know up front what they require in a relationship, I firmly believe women need to step back every once in a while and let the man show you what he's made of. You know, prove that he's worthy of your time. I really do believe one of the biggest mistakes women make early on in the relationship is laying out in full detail all the things you love a man to do for you without giving him a chance to show you what he's willing to do for you. I mean, it's nice and all that you like long walks by the beach and chocolate on Valentine's Day and you favor lilies in the summertime, but how exactly do you find out how creative, exciting, or giving a man is if you give him the blueprint for how to coax a smile onto your face without requiring him to figure some of this out on his own? Be sure of this. If you tell a man you like red roses at work, dinner at that special restaurant across town, and Chanel bags for your birthday, that is exactly what he will give you, nothing less, but certainly nothing more. And you'll be happy about it, at first. But then give it about 45 days or so, and he's going to stop doing what you told him you liked because he'll have figured he did what he needed to do to get what he wanted. And you will think that because he stopped, he changed. And you'll go tell your girlfriends, I don't know what happened. He used to do everything I like. He did everything you like because you told him what you like. My philosophy? Instead of telling him what you like, tell him what you don't like, and then see how he responds. Let him research and dig and figure out how to get to your sweet spot. Just go right ahead and put it out there. I'm not a fan of just sitting around in the house on the weekends. Or, I don't like it when a man doesn't treat me like a lady. Or, I don't like going to the same restaurants over and over again. Then, as your relationship progresses, watch his actions. For sure, you'll get his blueprint for how he conducts himself. You'll see what he's willing to give freely of his own accord. You don't like going to the same restaurants? He'll notify new, interesting places to take you. You don't like sitting in the house on Saturdays? He'll be sure to take you out to a concert or a new museum exhibit. Or he'll at least look through the newspaper and see what's going on around town so he has some suggestions for what you all can do together. He knows you don't like people who aren't family-oriented. He's going to bring treats for the kids when he meets them, or even offer to take you and them to the park for a quick game of catch or a push on the swings, and no matter how uncomfortable he may think he might feel, he's going to go to the barbecue at your mom's house because he knows you require a man who likes and gets along with family. Sit back and watch him. See if he opens the car door for you, or pulls out your chair when you sit at the table, or turns off his phone when he's with you, so that he can dedicate all of his attention to your time together. And then if he doesn't step up to the plate, if he doesn't show you that he's willing to figure out how to put a smile on your face, then you'll be in the position to decide if he's capable of giving you what you need and at least some of what you want. Of course, to lay out your requirements for a man and convey the importance of following those requirements, you must first figure out what exactly your requirements are. I've listed questions here that you should consider as you formulate your top 10 requirements, and I've left space for you to document your list. Number 1. What specific kind of man are you looking for? For example, funny, hardworking, generous. Number 2. How do you expect to be pursued? Do you want regular phone calls, text messages, dates at least 3 times a week? Do you want him to always pick up the tab? Number 3. What level of commitment do you expect? Do you want an open relationship or to date exclusively? Should it be up for discussion? Number 4. What kind of financial security do you expect this man to have? Do you want him to be rich? Do you want him to make more money than you? Are you okay with a blue-collar worker? Number 5. Do you want a man who wants kids and is family-oriented? Number 6. Does he have to be religious, spiritual? Number 7. Do you mind if he's a divorcee or has kids? Number 8. Can you help a man build his dream? Can you adapt to his plan? Number 9. What do you expect of his family? Should you get along with his mother? Do you care if he doesn't get along with her? Or if his father was never around? Number 10. What should he be willing to do to woo you? Should he pursue you? Give you expensive gifts? Chapter 10. The 5 questions every woman should ask before she gets in too deep. I had just gotten to Hollywood, and I was seeing a lot of things my then 38-year-old eyes had never seen before. One of those that stood out most was the lifestyle of a famous and well-regarded celebrity, whose name I'm just going to go ahead and keep to myself. But this much I will tell you. This man had it all. Money, fame, and a bevy of super beauty so bad, he could have easily made Hugh Hefner scratch his head and wonder how he could get in on that action. I mean, this man was surrounded by gorgeous women. A lot. All the time. And I was amazed at this, because I couldn't understand how one person could get all of these fine women like this. I mean, he wasn't the best-looking dude in the business. There were others with more money, more prestige, and certainly better looks than him. Still, he was a master at keeping a stack of solid tens at all times, with commitments to none of them. I'd heard about these super players with supermodels on their arms and everything, but when I saw it up close, I was amazed at how the actual connections could happen, and especially why these women stayed with this guy, knowing that they were one of many hanging on his arm. And I needed to know how this was done. Not necessarily so that I too could have supermodels hanging on my every word, but because I was genuinely blown away by the phenomenon. So I sat down and talked to this guy and a bunch of other men who were in similar relationships and asked them point blank, how do you keep these women coming back for more? And each one, including the most notorious of the bunch, laughed, shook his head, and said pretty much the same thing. Those women want the money, the fame, and the lifestyle, and they're willing to put up with a lot of things, not many of them good, to get it. But do they realize, I ask in all earnestness, that this is going nowhere? The one guy shook his head some more and said simply, they don't know where it's going because they never ask. He added, what am I supposed to do? Tell them I'm just using them for sex and arm candy? It just is what it is. Blew me away. And the more I asked the same questions of guys in similar situations, I heard the same answer, again and again. And each time I asked them what could have made it different for the women they were with, almost down to the letter, each one of those men said the same thing. If a woman came to me and quizzed me up front about my intentions, they would have known from the beginning that I'm not looking for anything serious. They don't ask, each one said, because they think they're going to run me off. So I get to just string them along. And the one celebrity who seemed to be the master of all this said, quite simply, I have enough of them so that when I get the questions, I don't have to answer because for every one woman who asks, I have two more who won't. Call this what you want. Foul, wrong, inexcusable, whatever. But that's how it is. And this kind of thinking from guys isn't just happening in celebrity circles. Trust me. It happens with everyday guys. Doctors and lawyers, truckers and delivery men, too. Some of them have as many women as some of my celebrity friends. And the women they run game on are just as fine as some of the supermodels clinging to the arms of stars. But if you're a woman on a string of 3 or 33, you're still on the string. And both you and I know that's not a good place to be. Your objective is to avoid being on the string. The first step, I think, is to get over the fear of losing a man by confronting him. Just stop being afraid already. The most successful people in this world recognize that taking chances to get what they want is much more productive than sitting around being too scared to take a shot. The same philosophy can easily be applied to dating. If putting your requirements on the table means you risk him walking away, it's a risk you have to take. Because that fear can trip you up every time. All too many of you let the guy get away with disrespecting you, putting in minimal effort, and holding out on the commitment to you because you're afraid he's gonna walk away, and you'll be alone again. And we men, we recognize this and play on it, big time. Know this, the game is old, and it's not ever gonna change. My sons will do it the same way because they can, and there will be women who allow it to happen, but you can certainly know the rules up front and change up your strategy so you don't get played. How do you do this? Start by making the man be really clear up front about what he wants out of his life and his relationship with you. You do this by asking him these key 5 questions. Questions that will help you determine right away what values this guy has and how you fit into his plans. I devised these questions after years of watching men play women, and women falling for it, and constantly asking myself, and even some of my friends who are masters at the game, if I were a woman, how could I avoid all of this? They're great questions, too. The answers will tell you everything you need to know about this guy in your life or the guy you hope to have in your life. Asking these questions will help you determine whether you should stick around to see where your relationship goes or if you should run really fast in the opposite direction. Note, there's no need to delay asking these questions. Ask them right away, as soon as you think you might be remotely attracted to a man you've met. If he's turned off by the questions, so what? You have the right to the information. And if he isn't willing to answer them, well, you know from the gate he's not the one for you. So let's just get started with the questions. Remember, no fear. Question 1. What are your short-term goals? If you're going to get into a relationship with a man, you should know what his plans are.